Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 66. It's July 30th, 2020. Many good players continue to fire and fall back from success on the professional tour because they seem incapable of putting good rounds back to back. Champions must string four good rounds together, or at least three. But the players I call the erratics are not champions, and their names soon disappear from the sports pages. Each erratic is an individual, to be sure, and there is no one explanation why they continue to follow a 68 with a 77. I believe, however, if I were trying to make a living playing golf, I would keep a diary. In my diary, I would note such things as, did I go out to dinner? What did I eat? Who was I with? What did we talk about? Did I drink spirits? How much did I sleep? And how well? How did I feel physically? Was I tired? Did I have a head cold? How did I feel emotionally? Was I upset about something? Was I being cranky about some small thing? Or was my mind clear and my heart serene? Was my energy high? Was it low? I would note what score I shot that day, the number of putts, and general comments on the all-around condition of my game. Probably, I would fill out my diary the last thing before bed. One thing for certain, I would never skip a night of writing in my diary. What good would a diary do me as a professional golfer? I feel that by periodically studying my diary, I would see patterns emerge. My diary might show, for example, that I played better on days after I'd eaten spaghetti for dinner with a couple of amusing pals and then watched a funny movie on television before lights out. It could show, as well, whether spaghetti, companionship, and comedy were a prelude to a disaster for me on the golf course. There is no predicting what the diary might show, which is why keeping the diary is important. The diary is the only suggestion I could give to an erratic. You don't lose your swing between the ninth green and the tenth tee, and you don't lose your swing from one day to the next. If you think you do, something is going on that you don't understand. A diary might explain it to you. That is, I just happened to grab, I actually have some bookshelves in the garage, just of stuff I don't grab very often, obviously. And I went trying to find these Harvey Pinnock books. I think he had Bud Schrake's help writing them. This is an incredible Austin story. There's just a lot to unpack someday about the Austin character of all this stuff. These books became immense bestsellers. There's one that's a little red book and one that's a little green book. This one is called "And If You Play Golf, You're My Friend." And this is they're just tiny little vignettes like this one I read, which is labeled "The Erratics." It follows yesterday's, Ryan Holiday bit about practices, the difference between practices and routines. Practices, in his formulation, being much more flexible and therefore anti-fragile, as it were. That it doesn't matter particularly what time of day you do them, it's not the same as waking up reading the paper, maybe, or checking the news is a routine. But when he lists these key practices that are nearly universal across all kinds of people, and the first one he listed was journaling. And it's just funny because I'd read from Ben Hogan's Five Fundamentals of Golf book recently and had been wanting to go back to these Harvey Pinnock books. It seems like golf, being this individual sport that you have to master this swing, and there's no one to blame if you don't do well. If you're not good at it, it's got nothing to do with your teammates. You're just not good at it. Becoming good at golf, it requires the same sort of discipline and practice that most things do. And so it just seemed apt. And personally, golf's kind of been in the back of my mind, on my mind. I never play, and I might start swinging the golf club a little bit. But the this advice here, that if you're, you know, a good player, and if you're coming to Harvey Pinnock, probably you're quite exceptional, but you're struggling. You can go play three incredible rounds, but you have one round that's off, and that's enough to not only keep you from winning, but potentially knock you out of the tour. And so how do you fix that? And his advice here to never miss a night writing in a journal and writing very deliberately about the fact, all these factors in your life, so, and recording your scores in context. So you can go back and see it. It's very Edward Tufte. The only way to see it is to see it. And the events of our lives just sort of move down river on us ceaselessly. And so trying to record some of that and give ourselves context and being a little more conscious of those cycles is pretty cool. It's not something I do. I have, I guess, in stretches done so. And I've, when going through old boxes or files or something, happened upon some things I've done in years past. As an example, like my brother studied abroad a year in Spain, and I went over there an entire winter break. I was in graduate school at the time. And I found I'd kept a journal during that period. And it, I mean, the recall and just the detail, just an event stream. It was really cool. I was really glad to have that. So I see the immense value in these things. And it's probably a habit or practice that I need to groove into the mix here. And I wonder, it's on my mind too. I mean, a lot's on my mind about this kind of idea, and talking about this as an individual pursuit. And then we all have, I think, these nested groups of people that are important in our lives. You've got your immediate family, but and professionally, I suppose, the people that you work with in your company. Those are givens. But then we also have these other conglomerations and clusters of people, networks in our lives, and there's all the research from Robin Dunbar, Dunbar's number, the whole notion of groups that really cohesive community type groups that max out generally between 150 and 250, and those research papers around from Dunbar and others. I don't know. And then it also, I go back to Austin Kleon and Show Your Work, his advice that is about promotion and marketing, really, that if you're a creator, painter, photographer, musician, writer, you'd need an audience. Kevin Kelly's 1,000 True Fans kind of thing. And the best way to do that with the tools available today is to share a little bit every day. And so there's a way to think about starting that process where you're just kind of journaling, but you're doing it in public. So with these nested groups that we have, I do wonder... if everybody would individually start journaling, if everybody would make sure to do that and strengthen themselves, improve themselves, extend themselves, and then find bits of that they can share with others. Nobody's trying to become famous, but we're just trying to connect to the right number of other people who are paying attention to us, holding us accountable, knowing where we are. Can then perhaps, maybe they notice a pattern. Maybe they see a trend line, sort of perceive a trajectory of where you're headed, and happen to notice something else from somebody else that they happen to follow in a different network, and they can share that with you. Things like Facebook and Twitter and all that have completely collapsed in terms of the utility for that kind of thing, in my opinion. So it seems, I don't know, the world seems ready for some new approach that helps us all in these nested groups do such things. And I'm going to keep flipping through this Harvey Pinnock stuff, because I think he's a master teacher, and part of that means he was incredibly perceptive and had the gift of distilling stuff down into simply expressed ideas that are actionable, and that's pretty... it's a pretty rare gift. I'll share links to this stuff in the show notes, but not yet, while I go sort of biographical about Penick, and it's really amazing just that he wrote this with Bud Schrake, because Bud Schrake's a gigantic reservoir of Texas and Austin greatness too. Y'all have a good one. Thanks.